think you got to use anything and everything you can to try to win it. There ain't no two ways about it.
This is side two of the interview with Dallas Crow, and we're talking about his thoughts about the use of the atomic bomb. Could you repeat that?
Well, I say, when you're at war, you use anything you can to win. And that was one of them. And you can say it's good or bad, but look how quick the war ended after they used it. And it only took two. So, is it good or is it bad? There's a lot of things about it that ain't good, all this fallout and radiation and everything else. But think how many lives it saves. So maybe the good points outweigh the bad points, hopefully. Use it if you got it.
What were your thoughts on President Roosevelt?
President Roosevelt? Oh, God, I don't know. Man, he was in there a long time. He done a lot of good things, come up with a lot of good ideas. Well, as far as I could say, I was pretty young and everything, most of his presidency, but I'd have to say he probably did a pretty good job under the circumstances. Circumstances make a big difference on what you're doing. So, well, I think he did all right under that. I wouldn't have no ill feelings towards him.
What about President Truman? What did you think of him?
He was all right. Well, he was down to earth. And boy, black was black and white was white. He didn't beat around the bush or give you a story. He told it like it was. And I go for that. I like that.
What was your family situation when you went into the military? Did you have a wife or a girlfriend at that
time?
No,
I didn't.
How did you stay in touch with your family back home?
Letters. My parents were divorced. My mother lived in Hayward and my dad lived in Chatsworth down there. So.
Did you get to write often?
Oh yeah, write any time you want. We had that V-mail, I think it was, they called it V-mail. You write a letter and stuff and they put it on a photographic deal. Make it about half the size. And they censored all of that stuff too. I know my mother said she got one letter about all that said hello and goodbye on it. It was practically all canceled out.
You mentioned Christmas at the Battle of the Bulge. What was it like to spend a holiday at war?
Oh, they treated you pretty good. I mean, you got a meal that was really good. I mean, they went all out. I never thought much about it until I seen the article about Mel Holliman where he was a cook. And you get to thinking about it. Now, them cooks, they had a job. Three meals a day to get ready for a whole bunch of men. Now that's a lot of work. They never had no time off. Right now I kind of really admire them guys because they really put in the hour. And most of them were good. We had one young kid, he worked in a bakery before he came in. And, oh, man, could he make pies. And then we had a guy from Louisiana. He could make the best dang coffee you ever drank. about stand the hair up on your head, but it was strong but good. Yeah, I admire them guys. They could really put out a meal. Man, at Christmas time and Thanksgiving and stuff, you know, man, you'd have the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the turkey, the whole ball of wax. And how they could do it, I don't know. But they got her done. They had their stoves and stuff up in a truck. And I don't think the stoves were any bigger than what our kitchen stove is, but they'd have two or three of them in a row or something like that. That's where they did their cooking stuff. Three meals a day, I don't know. Man, they never got a break. Just go from one to the other.
Did you feel like you had plenty of supplies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only thing we run out of was cigarettes. Yeah, we'd run out of cigarettes once or twice. I was writing home telling them to send me cigarettes. But that takes a while. That's for a letter to go home in a package to get back.
Can you describe to me what the nighttime was like?
No lights. Man, it was dark. Didn't get to use lights. The only time you'd do that, you'd have to get inside the back of your truck or something and pull the curtains around it. They was all tarped up and everything, you know. Pull the back curtain and stuff, and then you could have a little light back there. But that, you didn't do too much. It seemed like, though, every time you moved or something like that, you in a convoy or something, it'd always be at night. Then they had these cat eyes on the trucks, and so you could follow one another. And then you couldn't tell whether you was going uphill or downhill. So you'd hit the brake, see which way the truck would lunge. And you could tell whether you was going uphill or downhill. But always moving at night, that was one thing. It was kind of bad, but did that so they wouldn't be seen. But a lot of times, too, they'd put out a searchlight and lay it down more or less flat so you'd get the rays off of that to help. No, it wasn't all bad. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been the infantry walking.
How did you get sleep at night?
No problem. No problem. I had a buddy and I, we each had a bed spring, a single bed spring for a single bed. And that's your iron framework with just the wires and little springs on the outside edge. And we had them tied up on the inside of our truck. At bedtime, we'd let them down. We had our blankets and stuff on them. That's what we slept on right there. Daytime, we'd tie them up against the side. No, we had a pretty good deal. It wasn't bad. Wintertime, we was usually inside in the wintertime. Wasn't all bad. When you really get to looking at it.
How did people entertain themselves?
Oh, play football, you play softball, cards, yeah, you play cards. Poker games going all the time.
Were there ever any entertainers?
One time down at Camp Hope, had Bob Hope and what was the girl's name, Day or something. I don't know just what her name was now. They came into Camp Polk, entertained. But I don't recall ever seeing anything like that while I was overseas. Although it was there in the back. The one thing I found out when you get over there, we was all, I think, clear up in Belgium or just on the edge of Germany. It was in the winter time, and they took one platoon of us, took us back to train some combat engineers. When we got 25 miles behind the lines, we could turn our lights on. First time I'd seen that. Here we've been all the way up to Germany. Never been 25 miles behind the line. Well, we worked with the infantry and the armored all the time. Armor, they'd go out as far as they could until they come to something they couldn't get across the river or something. Infantry would go across and build a bridge head out across there, and then we'd come in and build a pontoon bridge and get the armored across that. And it was just the way it went all the time.
Did you ever go on leave?
The only leave I got was my 2 weeks after basic training. Well, we get a 2 or 3 day pass or something like that. That was after the war, though. I never had any of it during the war.
Did you go after the war?
We were stationed about 35 miles north of Frankfurt, Germany, a little town of Gießen, Germany. And they could take passes in back to Luxembourg. And I think maybe you could get 3 day pass and go to Paris too. But we moved back into France on our way home and got a two or three day pass into Paris, so I got into Paris and seen that. Quite a deal.
Can you describe Paris for me?
You don't want me to. Turn that off and I will. What you've heard about being on the street corners is there. Very handy.
Do you recall any particularly humorous or unusual events with you and your fellow soldiers? Or any pranks you would pull?
Not really.
What'd you think of the officers?
Well, I got our captain that we had, he ruled with an iron hand. Nobody really had what you'd call good feelings to him, and by the time it ended, I had a real bad taste in my mouth towards him. Real bad. But the lieutenants and stuff like that, they're sergeants. Couldn't beat them. Nice guys. Even the first lieutenants and second lieutenants. They'd come in, sit down, card game with you and play with you. Yeah, no problem. Everybody went more or less by the first name. No, they were a good bunch. But the captain, he's blacklisted in my book.
What'd you think of your fellow soldiers?
Good. We had good guys. I got one that lives right down here, where Blair, Nebraska. Stopped in once in a while. That's about the closest one, though. Of course, I don't get along with him too good either. He's too much of a buddy with the guy that, with the captain's Jeep driver. So we don't really see eye to eye either. They've had reunions a couple of different times, but I never have gone to them because they've been back in Ohio someplace. We had a lot of guys from the East Coast out there. Pennsylvania and New Jersey and out in there.
What were interracial relations like in the military at that time?
What do you mean by that now?
Relations between whites and blacks, or whites and Hispanics.
Well, we didn't have any Hispanics. The only thing we had was black. And the Army was segregated at that time, so we didn't have really nothing much to do with them. But it wasn't good. I'll have to admit that it wasn't good. Nobody thought very much of the blacks. So, but there were no Hispanics or anything like that. Blacks was the only thing. They had their own units and everything else. So.
Did you keep a personal diary?
No.
Do you recall the day your service ended, and what were the circumstances around that?
Mine ended up at Camp McCoy, Wisconsin. I think it was the 2nd or the 3rd of December we got processed up there and got discharged. Ain't much to it. They just get you in there. Pretty soon you're out.
Now, when did they send you back to the U.S. from Europe?
When? Oh, boy. It must have been some... It was late in the fall. It has to be late in the fall. Because I got discharged in the first part of December. Took 2 weeks to come home. And then I think it took about a week or so in the States before we was discharged. By the time I landed and they got us separated and put on the right train to send us to the right camp and everything. So it must have been, it had to be someplace in around the 1st of December or sometime in there when they left. We landed in Normandy up on the north side of France, and we left on the south side. We left out of Marseille, France. Went through the Mediterranean, through the Strait of Gibraltar. Pretty early in the morning when we went through there, but you could make out the rock. You could make it out a little bit. Boy, we didn't get through there 5 miles, I don't think, and the white caps were rolling in. Oh, man, was it rough. It was rough.
The whole way?
Huh?
The whole way?
No. It eased off in a day or so. We had a little, kind of like a little Liberty ship. They called it the Marine Wolf. It chugged along. Yeah, the waves had come over the front of it, washed down the side. It was kind of hard eating breakfast that morning. Nothing would sit still.
What was the readjustment to civilian life like for you when you returned?
Well, all the guy wanted to do was celebrate. I got out in December and I celebrated till up in April, I guess. Then I finally went to work for Hayward and Gravel Company, running drag line. Fun was over. Had to go to work. Worked from 7 to 6, 6 days a week, no overtime. 65 cents an hour. Get rich quick.
What did what did you end up doing then as a career? Did you do that forever, or what did you end up doing then the rest of your life as far as work?
Oh, I run drag line. Then for 2 years, I wound up working for Hallett's. And then for Hyman's, I started the next year after Burrington's, I worked for Hallett's, and I got laid off there. I got married. And 4th of July was on a Friday. So I got married on Saturday, went back to work Monday, and didn't have a job. That laid me off. So I came back home, and 3 or 4 days later, I went to work for Hyman's down at Chatsworth Gravel Pit. So I finished out the year with them. And I think it was some way or another, the next year or so, the fellow that run the tank wagon with Bruce's dad, he died. And I kind of hung around the station down there a lot, and Bruce's dad asked me if I'd go to work for him and run that tank wagon. So that's how I got in the service station deal. I run the tank wagon for a year, and then the guy in the station quit, so Eldon asked me if I'd take the station. So that's how I got into the service station.
Erickson's? Is this who you're
talking
about?
Down there where the body shop is. That's where I started out, in the service station. And then I was in the Mobile station up there where they got the insurance companies and all that there across from the coast. And then I kind of got discouraged with that, and with that station, and I quit it, and I went back down with Erickson. Down to that little one. Well, that didn't pan out either, so Ross Otis was one of my customers. And he says, well, why don't you come to work for me? So we finally got together and agreed on the price, and I went down there and went to work. I think I was in the service station for 25 years. And then I went down to Coil Craft, and I worked down there, I think, for 23 years. I worked past my retirement age, though. I worked till I was 78, and then drew unemployment. I got that all drawn out, and I had to quit. Nobody would give me a job out in the cold. You're going to like this. You probably repeat that a lot of times.
Did you ever make use of the GI Bill?
Nope, never did.
How about after you returned? Did you ever suffer nightmares or flashbacks or anything like that?
No, never had any problems with that.
Did you continue any of those friendships from the service then? You said that you knew about in Blair, Nebraska. Were there any others?
My old buddy that's mentioned in that paper clipping, Charlie Davis, he had more points than the rest of us. And we got split up, and he left before we did. When they split the company up, he got out of there early. And he lived down here in southern Illinois. And I wrote letter after letter down there to him and always got him back. Never have been able to locate him. He's the only one I'd really want to locate, but I've never been able to locate him. I had a letter or two from a couple of the guys out east. We used to exchange Christmas cards and stuff with a few of them, but that's all dwindled down. Well, look at our age. Probably most of us ain't around anymore. It'd be nice to see him. Kind of reminisce a little bit with him. That'd be pretty nice. I think there was one up to Sioux Falls up there. You see an ad on Sioux Falls about that foot doctor, Dr. Heath. And I'm just thinking, he possibly could be the son of this Heath that was in our outfit. But I've never contacted him or anything. We had one, there was one at Sioux Center. I have talked to him once or twice. But no, I haven't seen very many of them. Ain't very many of them right out of this Midwest right here. It was all mostly east, so you haven't got much to draw from here.
Did your military experience influence your thinking about war or about the military in general?
I don't know why. What kind of influence you talking about?
Well, I guess, what were your thoughts on wars following World War II, like Vietnam?
Well, right now, a person kind of wonders, when are we going to have a year that we're not in war? Look how many years we've been at it. Here and there and down there and now over there. When is the United States going to settle down and be peaceable and not have troops sitting around the world someplace fighting a war? It's been a long time when you really get to thinking about it. It'd be nice if they could get it all straightened out and quit trying to be the peacekeepers. Somebody's got to do it.
What do you think about the situation in Iraq right now?
Kind of confusing. Makes you wonder, why can't they stop that car bombing? Why can't they stop the supply of ammunition and stuff that they're getting? Why can't they shut that down? There's something wrong there. Something wrong. Why they can't close them borders down to keep all that explosives out? They shut that off, then they ain't got nothing to build a car bomb with, you know. It kind of starts slowing things up.
Do you feel like your military experience influences you politically in any way?
No. No, not a bit. Not a bit.
What political party do you consider yourself?
Independent.
Would you mind saying who you supported this past presidential election?
I believe it supported old Bush, I ain't sure. I don't hardly remember.
Do you ever watch today's war movies?
Today's war movies?
Yeah.
No. What is that?
Well, there's a lot of movies out these days. I don't know if you ever heard of a Saving Private Ryan.
Oh yeah, I've heard of those. No, I never have. I get a glimpse of it every now and then. Too much fake in it. Too much fake. When they shoot them rifles off, they go through a board and you can see the big splinters. All out here, that rifle bullet didn't go that way. It came this way. Kind of fakey to me.
How do you think your life might have been different had you not served in the military?
Yeah. I've often wondered that too. Man, that could really make a difference. Really make a difference. I've often thought, in a way, being in the military like that, right at that age and stuff, I've often thought, now that is a good deal. Because right in that age group, you're so undecided on what you're going to try to do or want to be, things you want to be, are probably so far out of reach you couldn't do it if you wanted to. And it just gets you through a period that would really be troublesome for you, just trying to make up your mind on what you would like to do and what you could do. And when I got out in December. I was only 20 years old then, but I was turned 21 the next month. But it makes a big difference. Yeah, you age, and that war will age you too. It'll give you a lot of different thinking powers. Change your mind on a lot of things. Take the kids' stuff out of you in a hurry. So, yeah, it makes you wonder. Wonder what it would have been like. Wonder what I'd wound up doing or where I'd have been. I've often wondered, why did I come back to Hayward?
What do you think it was?
Oh, you got a little bit of relation and stuff around here and hometown and stuff. I suppose the guy kind of had that uniform on and stuff. He kind of wanted to come back and show off a bit.
Okay. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't covered so far in this interview?
I don't know. It looks like we got things pretty well hashed out here now. Sure looks like it to me.
All right. Well, thank you, Dallas, and this will end the interview.